nights, Apostle Peter says that his body saw no corruption because it was without sin. Also, his mystical body shall not see any corruption. None of it shall be wasted away. There was not a bone of the lamb to be broken. And there was not a bone of the Lord's body broken. Though they broke the legs of the thieves on either side of him, they did not break his legs. When they came, the soldier came to break his legs, they saw that he was already dead, and he pierced his side, which fulfilled a prophecy that they would do. So the apostle is telling us here in the beginning of this chapter, he's saying that we are justified by the blood of Jesus. We are justified, he says, now being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so being justified by his blood before the bar of God, the bar of judgment, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that justifies the sinner. And it's by faith that we receive this gospel of justification in our conscience, by which we receive peace with God. James says that we are justified by works, and when we take up our cross and follow our Lord and confess him before men, then we are justified by our works before our neighbors. And so we are justified by the grace of God, because it's the unmerited favor of God that give us his Son, the unspeakable gift of his Son. And it was necessary for him to shed his blood, because without the remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so, since the life of the body is in the blood, and we have sinned and therefore sentenced to death, and so it requires the life of the body, life must be sacrificed as a penalty for sin. And so it's when the Lord said, I see the blood, they were to take the lamb and slay it and put the blood over the lintel of the doorpost and on each side of the doorpost. And if you drop a line from the center lintel and back through the blood on each side of the doorpost, you have a picture of another cross. The Lord in prophecy and in types and shadows foreshadowed what he would do for many, many years before it came to pass. But in the fullness of the time, Christ came, and he was born of a woman and born under the law, made under the law, and that he might deliver us who were under the curse of the law. And so he came to fulfill this scripture that we were reading here. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. To be reconciled is to be restored to friendship or fellowship, or to be restored to a former position, the dictionary says. Reconciliation implies that you were once within fellowship, but that something came that brought on the strangeness, or that separated us from that fellowship that we had. And of course we know that he goes on in this very chapter to tell us that by one man, sin entered into the world. By Adam, the first man, sin entered into the world. And so in Adam, he explains in the rest of this chapter, we will not read all of it, but that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. And so we have here the great representation. We have the gospel as God has preached to us through types and symbols ever since Cain and Abel offered up their first sacrifices, that God was angry with sinners. He was estranged from his creation, Adam, the first man that he made, because of sin. And yet we know that he has loved us with an everlasting love. Though we were estranged from him in that sense, yet his love never was separated from us. But God, being holy and just, a just God, his justice and his holiness could not condone the sinner in his sinful condition. And so therefore, we stood in need of reconciliation. God didn't have to be reconciled to us, but we needed to be reconciled to God. And that his justice and holiness might be, as one scripture says, that mercy mercy and truth might kiss, his justice and holiness had to be satisfied. He just couldn't look at sin and condone it, sweep it under the rug like we do sometimes when our children transgress our laws. He is altogether holy and just. And so in order that he might be at peace with his children again, his creatures, why then he sent his son into the world, and he sent him that he might die and offer himself a sacrifice for sin, that it might please him. The scripture says that on two occasions he spoke from heaven, saying that this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And in another occasion he said, hear ye him. And so when he says that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And so when we were at enmity with him, we were not only at enmity, but we were enmity itself in our minds against the law of God. And enmity speaks of hostility, something that is hostile to the authority and to the law of God. And the scriptures teach us that that is a position of the natural mind in its sinful condition. And we see that so amply illustrated in our society today, that's run by men who will not bow to the authority of God. They will not have this man, the man that God has appointed, his son, Jesus. He has exalted him above every name in heaven and in earth, and has given him all things into his hands. And yet we see the open rebellion today that will not recognize his authority, nor will they bow down to him and be submissive to his will. And so we see the enmity, the strangeness that's between man today and God. And yet the apostle says that, or it says, if says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And so this reconciliation and atonement we have received. Up until the Lord came, we had just types and shadows of the atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb on the day of, on the Passover day, and in the Passover observance. And the blood, when it was put on the doorpost, the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we know that the angel of death visited all the households of Egypt, and the firstborn from the king in the palace until the maid of the servants said, and even the firstborn of every beast in Egypt died that day. there was a great a mourning in Egypt, such as the Bible says, such as never was before or would ever be again. But in the land of Goshen, where the Hebrews dwell, they killed this lamb and put the blood over the doorpost, and there was not a death at all among the Israelites. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And the Apostle Paul says that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And so the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, and by his death we have been reconciled unto God. And even when we were enemies, that is, that when we were not yet reconciled, maybe in our conscience or in our mind, when we were yet left in our sinful nature, which is at enmity with him, yet he came and he suffered and he died and he reconciled. It says, us, much more now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For we, he says, if then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And the ones that were reconciled in a legal and judicial sense when Christ died were those which the Father had given him, those which had from all eternity been given to him in covenant bonds. And these are known as the elect family of God. And yet we could say and have said before that the death of Christ, the value of his death, of his sacrificial offering, of his holy body there on the tree, the value of it, it cannot be measured. Just as the power of God and the love of God and the grace of God is unlimited. The value of that sacrifice is such that it would cleanse every sinner that's ever lived if they would be submissive to God, if they would receive the atonement, as he says here. And now we have received the atonement. Christ has come and has finished all the types and shadows and prophecies concerning him for 4,000 years when he came himself and went to the cross of the tree. Then he reconciled those that the Lord had given him in this. He reconciled each and every one that comes to him, that calls upon him, feels to be in need of his righteousness. If all humanity came to that position, then they would all be reconciled unto God. If they all by faith would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would all then have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, the scripture says, we have peace with God. And beloved, I don't know about you, but I can remember when I didn't have peace with God. I was running my own race in my own way, and I would not submit to the commandments of God, even though my parents and sometimes my neighbors would try to counsel with me and to tell me that I was leading a life that led to destruction and that led to all kinds of complications. Yet I insisted on going my own way until I practically destroyed my life and my family. But God in his rich mercy and grace apprehended me, I feel, just as he did the Apostle Paul. And the very pleasures of sin for a season that I was enjoying at the time, I thought I was enjoying, came to be nothing but misery to me. And I couldn't get the pleasure out of the bottle no more. I couldn't get the pleasure out of running in the pleasures of sin like I did before. My life became just more miserable and more miserable until oftentimes I would wake up and wish that I had had an automobile accident and died, or that something would have happened that would have destroyed me, and everything was just misery, and it brought me to my knees. I went into the bedroom of the little trailer that we were living in at that time. They called them house trailers then instead of mobile homes. I closed the door and called on God. I don't know what I said, but there was something in here that went out calling on God to save me, because I knew I was a goner. And I could not hide before Him. As it's often been said, my sins came up before me, and they were open and naked before God. And I knew that I was rightly judged and had nowhere to hide. And those sins that I thought that I had kept back from my friends and my family, I knew they were open before God. And I called upon Him. And from that day forward, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, I turned from the way that I was living and tried to follow the Lord. And as we began to read the scriptures and cherish them above everything that we owned, we came to the belief that Jesus was the Savior of sinners, and that He reconciled us unto His God when He offered up Himself without spot or without blemish or without any such thing. That reconciliation was performed once at the end of the law world, and has perfected forever them that are sanctified. It has put away, as far as the justice and the holiness of God is concerned, it has been completed. Justice and holiness, love and mercy and the grace of God can now all sit down, as it was, in harmony in one place, because God's people have been reconciled to the great by the death of His Son. The thing that separated them when the first man, Adam, sinned, and sin entered into the world, they became separated. But Adam, Christ is said to be the second Adam and the last man. God has made two men. He made the first man of the earth, earthly, and He made the second man, the Lord from heaven. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. The scripture, the psalmist says that the blood of bulls and goats He would not, but a body hast Thou prepared me. And so that holy body that was prepared by God, that overshadowed Mary, the power of the Most High overshadowed her. And that holy body that was conceived in her was none other but Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And it was in that holy, harmless, sinless body that is separate from sinners. Never been another one made like it in all the history of humanity. There's never been but one Adam made. And that man, he failed, he sinned, and he brought us into death. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's sin, many were brought into death. And by one man's obedience, many has been made righteous. He gave His life a ransom for many, the scripture says, and they have been justified. And now the question is, beloved, have we received the atonement? The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome there, he says, and not only so, but we also joy in God, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement is at one-ment. We are at one with God again to those that have received the atonement. And we said this chapter started off, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's when God's people receive the atonement that they have peace with God in their conscience. It's when peace, like a river, floods the soul. It's when all the turmoil and the conflict and the strife and the anxiety, the bitterness and the hatred and the self-will that empowers one to go against the commandments of God, all of that is laid aside. And peace, like a river, comes in. And the soul flees to Jesus and finds him for a refuge and a safe haven. He's all that we stand in need of. He's paid the price. He paid it all. All of him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That holy, sinless, innocent body was offered like a little lamb without spot and blemish for our sins. He was sacrificed for our sins. He came for that purpose, and he would not be turned. Though Satan tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights personally in the wilderness of Judea, yet he withstood everything that the devil had to come at him. He said one time himself, he said, Satan cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. There was not one lust in our Savior. There was not one place that he could find a foothold that he could come and tempt our Lord. It was his passion. He said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. That word desire there is the word we get our word passion from. He said to his disciples, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. It was his desire, it was his meat to fulfill the will of God, that his children, his brethren, his sheep, his pasture, that they might be reconciled unto his heavenly Father, and that he and his children might be once again in fellowship with each other and with the heavenly Father. The Apostle John said, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this unto you that your fellowship might be with us, might be with the apostles. The Lord chose his apostles and inspired them to pen down the gospel and the reconciliation record in the gospel, that we might, by faith, be justified in our conscience, that we might receive the atonement, that we might have the peace of God that passeth understanding, that we might have a refuge, like Noah that built an ark when the flood was ready to come upon the earth and destroy. The wrath of God was about to be poured out on the earth, and God told Noah to build an ark to the saving of his house, and Noah did that, and it saved him. Eight people were saved in the flood. Eight is the number of a new beginning. And so we see the world, it ran in rebellion to violence. The earth was filled with violence to the place that God destroyed it. The earth, the Lord said the earth would be like that again when the wrath of God shall break upon the earth. And beloved, we can see it accelerating like a stone going downhill. The wrath of God is being displayed more and more in nature. And in our day, we can see it breaking upon our civilization because of the rebellion, the open rebellion and defiance against the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he sent into this world to atone for sin. And yet they trample the blood of the Son of God under their feet. And they take the bit in their own mouth and run as it will, at will. And but for the grace of God, beloved, you and I would be running with them. But grace Where sin did abound, grace has much more abounded. And where sin did reign, now righteousness reigns. The grace of God reigns through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whereby the first man sinned and entered into the world, and we lost our righteousness. Now God has brought in everlasting righteousness through this last man, the second Adam. Daniel said he would bring in reconciliation and everlasting righteousness. We have a righteousness now, beloved, that's in heaven, that will endure throughout all eternity. It's a righteousness that is everlasting in its value and in its atoning power. And it is sufficient to satisfy the very holiness and justice of God in His Son. He's well pleased. And the question is, are we well pleased with the sacrifice of His Son? Have we received the atonement? Oh, beloved, I can recall the day when it came to me that I was satisfied with the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All of my soul, I trusted in Him, knowing I have no righteousness of my own whereby I might come to God. But in Christ's righteousness, I have a full sufficiency. The Apostle Paul said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That don't mean arrogantly, but it means boldly, that the blood of Jesus Christ is so sufficient that those that trusting in the blood have free access now, that we might joy in God. We might come to our Heavenly Father and have full fellowship with Him based upon the sacrifice of His Son. Though we were at enmity with Him and hostile to Him, now we have this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of His precious blood. And so even though we were enemies, but now we have been reconciled with Him. In this second chapter of Corinthians, he said that Christ has performed the work of reconciliation, and has said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And He has committed the word of reconciliation unto the apostles. Christ performed the work of reconciliation. It was perfect. It was complete. It was finished. There's nothing to be added to it. Nothing to be taken from it. It satisfied the thrice holy God, and there's nothing that can be added to it. But the word, the gospel concerning this reconciliation, has been committed to the apostles and to the church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That is to dispense His truth until He comes again. He came one time, the apostle says, it's appointed unto one, every man wants to die, and after that the judgment. But unto them that look for Him, He shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. If He reconciled us unto His Father by the death of His Son, how much more shall we be saved through His life? When the world runs its course and the cup of iniquity and sin is full, and the wrath of God breaks upon this earth again, like it did in the days of Noah, like it did upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were types of the wrath of God that shall break upon this earth one more time. But the life of Christ that He lives forever to make intercession for us. Every soul that's fled to Jesus for refuge is safe, beloved. For His life will save us. We were reconciled by His death. We'll be saved by His life. He liveth, and because He lived, we live. If we're in Him, we're saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Praise God for His Son. Thank God for His church. Thank God for you and for the fellowship we have in this day of open rebellion against the commandments and precepts of the gospel that God has given us. Thank God for the fellowship that we have day by day, week by week. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the Passover that tells us about our lamb that was sacrificed for us. God, Nahum said, God is good, and he's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? God knoweth them that trusteth in him. In the days of Israel, when idolatry to the heathen gods around about them was rampant, it said there was a few, yet a remnant, that spake often one with another about the Lord. It said there was a book of remembrance written for them. There's a book of remembrance written today for those that speak often one to another of the mercies of our God. And it's a wonderful thing. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just as the waters of the flood were tempestuous around the ark, I'm sure we're living in a tempestuous time. But this church of the Lord Jesus Christ is like a little ark. It's like a resting place. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where we can come and we can have fellowship with our God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank him for it. We publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today, we'd like to make a public confession of their faith in Christ and be baptized according to his commandments. We'll give you that privilege while we're assembled yet together. What shall we sing?
246, the last hymn.
Page 246, the last hymn. We publish the doors of the church open. Sing when you're ready.
Yeah.
son was waiting to eat with that family, but if he possibly can, we certainly invite you to stay to eat with us and to fellowship with us while we eat. We'll have a short conference meeting right after lunch, and you can only take about 15 minutes. You're welcome, of course, you're not obligated to stay for that, but you're welcome to stay if you'd like to. And next Sunday, next second Sunday, May, is Mother's Day. And so we do not bring out lunch on that day because so many families get together to eat their home. So we've made kind of a rule that we don't bring out lunch on the second Sunday of May. Is there anything else?
Yes, I'd like to thank Brother Albert and his folks that came with him for coming today, and I hope he's remembered in expense. Also, the first Sunday in May, Elder Grayson World will be in the church in Monsoon. Brother Smothers and Brother Albert invite any to help of mine to come and be with them next first Sunday.
And we'll have an office right now.
Right.
That's right.
And lunch will be brought out. I have lunch, too. Myself and the world will preach for the Lord with next Sunday. I have a bunch of appointments here in the second and third week of May. So that'll be at the second Sunday meeting in May, so I'll wait for nights and then. But if you need to walk somebody over Santa Fe, I'll give them to you, but we'll make those announcements next Saturday, Sunday. Any other announcements? Not by Willis, Brother Ruth will dismiss us.
First of all, Brother Brett, I'd like to thank you for that wonderful invitation to stay and eat with you. And I want to say that I certainly enjoyed being here. I love your fellowship. I want to invite you all to come to Hot Little Church, which is on South and 70, out of Stonewall, between Stonewall, North Carolina, and Sandy Ridge. Our meetings, we gather there on the first weekend, Saturday at 2 o'clock, and of course, you're right there on Sunday at 10:30 Sandy. I'll let you have a cordial invitation to come and be with us. If you will, have a time to fill the conference. We'll thank God for his blessings. Thank you, Father, once again for your wonderful blessings that you blessed us with in days past. We want to thank you, God, for the help that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for this little assembly that you have caused to come together here today. We thank you, Lord, for choosing a people to make up this body. We thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've done for us in life. God, Heavenly Father, we thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, that Lord of Nazareth, that man that came, gave his life so vividly that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And we thank you now, God, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful day, a time when they say that Christ risen from the grave. We thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you most especially for Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to remember our Brother Draper as he undertakes the duty that's been embedded upon him. Continue to bless him as much as you have in days past. Bless the deacons here, Lord, and bless the minister, wherever it might be throughout the world. God, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again for being so good and so kind to us. And Lord, as we took the parting hand now, and we go our separate ways, we ask you to be with us. Keep us from harm, both seen and unseen, and we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise, honor, and glory for all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.